Again, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the world. Everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, May 13th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Recently, in a matter of months, there has been tremendous fires. I mean, it becomes overwhelming. There is a lot of critique, a lot of political banter back and forth on whether we are equipped to handle the amount of fires happening in the Bahamas. Not just bushfires, though. There are fires happening now in terms of high rises, just caught ablaze, and it seems as if we are in battle to basically combat them. Businesses, homes, all being engulfed in fires. And I said, we need to talk about this. We need to find out how to prevent these things, how to fight these things. Are we equipped in terms of the firefighters, in terms of the businesses, in terms of us, Bahamians? I got two specialists in studio today whose job is to business preventative in terms of continuing their business and in terms of finding solutions regarding fires, right? And in fact, I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves and introduce their business per se regarding this topic. My premier guest today is Donovan Paul, whose business, what he's associated with is solutions-based. I call it an alternative base because just walking in here, he was pointing out things that can be improved upon. And I said, man, I wouldn't have seen this if you didn't point it out. But I'll let him finish and introduce himself to understand and appreciate what is it that we're concentrating upon today. And then I'll introduce my second guest, right? Donovan Paul, welcome to the show and bring the mic closer to you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself formally.
Yes.
Explain your business, and then I will start putting some questions to you.
Yes. Thank you for having us. My name is Donovan Paul once again. Lifeline IT Group of Companies is my business. And we focus on security and safety integration services. We look for solutions that are used internationally to advance safety and security measures. And one of our partners we are introducing today is Mouse Safety, which is MAUS Safety. We offer fire suppression solutions for small applications all the way up to a large one. Transfer switches, generator transfer switches, electrical panels. We also offer fire blankets for cooking fires that are also ideal for escape, saving your life as it relates to a fire. You could use it. But we also provide non-serviceable fire extinguishers. So, you know, that's the three aspects of the safety that we also do. But we also do security services with Ajax.
Okay. And that, again, that's Donovan Paul, who's the CEO of Lifeline IT Group of Companies, which is a Bahamian safety and security integrator company, right? And I have you here basically to talk about fires.
Yes.
Right? Because I know your company has a number of different facets which you can do, right? I'm going to start off with ABCO. I had a conversation with some volunteer firefighters in ABCO recently. Mm-hmm. And they are being plagued by forest fires, bush fires at this present time. And they were, this firefighter and his grouping, were bragging or making a point that they are more equipped than New Providence in terms of they have their one fire truck, but they have water pumps or trucks that they can pump out fires. And I was trying to think now, is this the best solutions? Do your company offer any fire techniques, fire systems that can help ABCO that they're not aware of, right? Because they're frustrated. Yes. They want more support from the government. And then, like I said, this whole thing has become political on whether we need more fire equipment, fire trucks. And most everyone's saying we need fire trucks. But what can your company offer?
Yes. Okay. We offer alternatives such as fire grenades.
What's a fire grenade?
A fire grenade is similar to a fire extinguisher. However, you can use it as, for example, if you see a fire, most persons want you to classify the fire, whether it's class A, B, C, K, etc. However, when you see a flame, you know simply it's hot.
It's hot.
That's it. And so the reality is our fire extinguishers allow you to throw the fire grenade into the fire. So you could use it at a longer range. But at the same time, fire extinguishers are, I would say, they're called hazmat. Our solutions are non-hazmat. So it doesn't have hazardous material. So that means that you can inhale it.
So like a fire extinguisher is a hazmat fire suppressant.
Yes, and it could cause asphyxiation in confined spaces.
And what you offer is something completely contrary to that?
Completely.
And okay, where I work, they service their fire extinguishers yearly. They have inspections in between, but they service it again, new one, like, replace.
Correct.
Right? They give us training on how to out that fire. So you got to be 6 feet and you go left to right and sweeping, right?
Yes.
But you got to be 6 feet from the fire.
Exactly.
And if the fire hot, and I'm going 6 feet close to it. Mm-hmm. I want to know, what can you offer? Whereas I don't have to get that close, because if it's hot, I ain't using it. That place got to burn down. What can you do?
Our solution is designed for lithium ion battery fires. So when you're dealing with a fire, you have sometimes it starts with paper fire, but now you have maybe a phone that caught on fire. And if you have a fire extinguisher and you try to put out that fire and you inhale that smoke from that lithium ion combustion, it'll damage your respiratory organs. So what we recommend is to use our fire extinguishers first. So you would throw that in a room to counteract that fire. And what we do is we take a different approach. We don't try to suffocate the fire. We neutralize the fire, and we use smoke to neutralize the fire. Different principle in reference to how we address fires.
Just where I bring in the consultant, business continuity consultant, Gamal Nuri, who's here, right? Recently, there was a high-rise fire. And then there was a big business, that caught fire. And it seemed as if they did not have fire suppressant materials in their building, right? Your business is basically, or as a consultant, you come in and say what all you need, which all you should have in order to continue business when some kind of tragedy happens, right? We're talking fire today. How would you come in and to assist a business who just built a brand new construction, one story, right? Say they're going to be offering services, but they ain't equipped. They didn't anticipate no fire.
Right. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good
and
morning.
Explain your business too. So, how it works.
Good morning, Bahamas. So, Preventative Measures is a security consultant and training company. We deal with asset protection and loss prevention, and that's critical to the discussion. If you're asking me what we would do in the first hand in 2025, this is a reality check. In 2025, we would come in and ask you. You see what has been happening over the last few weeks.
Fires,
yeah. Right? And you see the response. Now, I'm not going to get into grading it to say whether it's good or bad. However, what you would want to do is ensure that you have taken the necessary steps as a business owner, in one instance as a homeowner, to ensure that you are able to mitigate and reduce the impact of a fire. So we would come in and see, we'll ask a question. What is the value? What's in the bedroom? What's in the storage room? What is of value to your business? And ensure that you place the right resources, the right mitigating tools in place, like a tool like Mr. Paul is talking about, the mouse. We make sure that that's the right device and tool and it's placed in the right spot. Because now you have it, but now you perhaps have it locked away in an emergency cabinet. But you need to have it perhaps hanging on a wall somewhere. So we would come in and make sure that you have the right tools, you have the right response, you have the right training to deploy that those devices, and also you understand what all of that entails. So Preventative Measures is here to prepare you for these instances and to ensure that you have the right readiness in place, you have the right response, and certainly what you mentioned, recovery. So now how do you recover your business? That's when you talk about things like business continuity. So that's what we would do. We would go in and say, hey, what's going on? Look what's the current climate. Look at the resources that you're depending on and how have they been performing? I'm not going to get on how they've been performing, but now you have to make a decision. Can I reliably rely on the current resources available? And how much weight do I put into those external factors? And what can I do to improve my position?
I got a text here who wants me to get political. I didn't want to become political, but I'll ask a question for both of your business in terms of recommendation. The text wanted to know what should the fire department here in the Bahamas should be doing in terms of their response. In terms of Mr. Paul's business, what type of equipment our fire brigade can be embracing in terms of what all you offer. In terms of your consultancy business, Mr. Nuri, what should we be buying? What type of training in order for us to be able to combat this increase in fire? And anyone could go first and ask that.
All right. I would start off with vehicle fire blankets. That's like a low-hanging fruit as it relates to the family islands. A lot of the general rule of thumb on a family island is if you have an electric vehicle or gas vehicle and it catches on fire, it simply burns down.
Yes.
So what you would try to do is mitigate your loss by actually trying to cover up and trying to contain that fire as best as possible.
You have something like that?
Yes, we have vehicles we have demonstrated as relate that covers the entire vehicle that puts out the fire, etc.
You have a blanket that can basically put out the fire just by throwing the blanket over it?
Over the entire vehicle.
Would it wake on a wife? a husband?
Yeah.
Would it wake on one of them? What type of car? How big is the blanket? Like, could I put the whole fire out on the car, right? Like, or say I'm putting gas in the car. Like, I ran out of gas on the side of the road, and the gas tank implodes. I mean, you know the little handheld. Is this blanket that size blanket?
No, the blanket covers the entire vehicle.
Okay.
So it actually, we have them from small, we have small blankets that you could use in the house. But we also have it that you can use that to cover entire vehicle.
And how heavy is a blanket, right? Like, so I'm a husband, I'm a father. I want to prepare my wife and my children. A little heavy. But not too heavy at all. So my wife could reasonably throw this blanket over the car in a pinch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the reality. We have small blankets that start around 5 pounds. And then the larger blankets that go around maybe 20 pounds. But the reality is, it's feasible to use.
All right. And why the blanket versus water? Like, the first thing I think in is grab the water hose and put it on the car, but why is the blanket the more effective response to a car fire?
sometimes you don't have access to water.
Okay.
And so we've had a few instances whereas the fire truck has, you know, approached and it doesn't have water. So you would want to utilize a blanket to more contain a fire for immediate response.
No, continue. So on the family island, every person who have a car, who have a house, have one of these blankets close by.
Yeah, definitely from homes, I would recommend this because it's designed for cooking fires.
I was about to say, because you can't put water on a cooking fire.
Ah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What else can your company offer?
We offer, like I mentioned earlier, we offer the grenades that we offer. Yeah, so fire grenades.
Now, picture a government
We're fighting fire with fire?
No, we actually use smoke to out fire.
So it's a smoke grenade?
Yes.
That will absorb all the oxygen in the space and then put out the fire?
It doesn't suffocate. It neutralizes. So what it does is it separates the various compounds to put out the fire.
Now, picture I'm in Auckland. Mm-hmm. No fire truck.
Yes.
The government complex is on fire. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, normally we just left it to get burned up. Helping the government now in terms of your company, what you offer, what should the administrator, first thing he grabs, say, okay, let's try do something now.
The first thing I would recommend is the fire grenade because you don't know what type of fire it is. So normally, like I said, it could be a class C or a combination, but all you see is a flame and you see smoke. By you inhaling something that you don't know, you know, it could cause health concerns.
Yeah, you never actually got burnt by the fire.
Exactly.
But you experienced a serious injury from inhalation. When you say class A, class B, class C, class D, is that intensity of the fire or is that the cause, the type of fire that it is?
The cause. For example, you have wood, you know, paper. Yeah. You have, you know, so it depends. And so because you don't know how to classify it, I always say use our equipment first to try to mitigate and try to save as much property as possible.
Let me get this call first and then ask Mr. Nuri to respond to that in terms of recommendation from your continuing business. I can't pronounce that word.
Continuity, sir.
Yeah, that word there, right? and I want you to respond to that. But let's go to this caller first. I'll put on the airpiece. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, great show, usual. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Ask your guest if you have a size Andrew blanket for the fire.
You understand what I'm saying.
And the second thing, right, I want him to do proper inventory because I haven't go there for no fire, for fire grenade. And guess what? They ain't get no fire grenade. You go for a blanket, they ain't get no blanket. I go into a donut place the other day, right? Guess what they ain't at?
Donut.
No donut.
I know. You in the Bahamas.
And I go into a conk place. Guess what they ain't at? They ain't at no conk.
I know where we are.
So I will go to a fireplace, and they ain't get no grenade.
Let me ask a question, and especially in
thank you very much,
in light of the question on continuity, right, in the business. I want to have these as a part of my home arsenal, my business arsenal, my transportation arsenal, right? What's the time period? How long between I order it and I could get it, right? And if I'm a big business, do I need to come in for a consultation? Do I need to come in and say, listen, I've got a 3-story building, I've got 4 offices per floor, 2 sets of stairs in the building. As a business owner, should I really come in and make an appointment as opposed to just walk in and expect to find all of these things on the shelf?
As it relates to, we have inventory in stock. Mm-hmm. However, depending on the size of the business, what we'll do is we'll give you a timeline in reference to maybe 15 working days so that we could bring in the additional inventory so that you could fully outsource. I mean, you could fully cover your entire property, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of cost, I'm thinking about, can my constituency team subsidize the cost of a blanket per home, right? In terms of cost, are they affordable? And can we step this up to like a community level initiative where a constituency office says, look, for every family or home that's registered, we'll pay 50% of the cost of the blanket?
Indeed. And not only that, what we do is the training aspect. So, see, you having the technology, but then we have, you know, the training aspect that mm-hmm. we factor in. And so that is key so that you know how to use the product.
All right. So to my cousin who is concerned about it being on the shelf, let's look at it from a different perspective. Because when you go into this company, you can also say, hey, now that you sold me the product, teach me how to use the product properly.
Yes. And not only that, but on our website, MAUSSafetyBahamas.com, we have visual tutorials and how, so that if you want to refresh your knowledge and how to use the product, we have that on the website. All of the list of the different fires, we have a list of, so that you could see what's going on in the Bahamas in reference to fires.
Mm-hmm.
We have it globally in reference to car manufacturers. For example, we had recently Porsche. They did a recall on their electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. Because it was, they recommend that persons do not charge those type of vehicles near their home, etc. So we take all of that in consideration.
And so the guys that are outfitting cars, you know, like Fix My Ride. So I bring my car to the buddy and he put in 7 speakers and he put in upholstery. These guys should be coming to y'all for a course on ensuring that what they're doing to the car doesn't create a fire risk in the car?
Yes. Indeed, because when you add additional components to a vehicle, just cause it to be more flammable than it usually would be. So you would want to have a solution in the car that persons could easily pick up. And so that's another thing. As it relates to our fire grenades that could be used like a flare in the hand, it's lighter than a fire extinguisher. And because it's lighter than a fire extinguisher, it's easier for the elderly to use. And so, and like I said, even the use of it, you pull the pin and you press the button. That's how you use it.
Okay. Give me your website again and how to contact you as I move on to Mr. Nuri. Go ahead.
www.mausSafetyBahamas.com. You can view there, but you could also view what's going on in the world as well as locally in reference to fires.
Okay. Mr. Nuri, in regards to the initial question about what should we be doing in terms of preparing our fire brigade, some commentary on that. Because a number of persons was asking, should we just import fire engines or is this firefighting is bigger than that? And in terms of your business continuity.
Continuity.
Yes, that word. In regards to that. Go ahead.
I think, you know, as you guys were talking, you identified exactly what I would be recommending. What are the resources and what is available? If you're talking about Auckland's, right, and you're going to place a piece of machine, an asset, a fire service vehicle out there, right, what is the how regular is that vehicle being serviced? Is it in north? Is it in south? Is it in central? Right? So that's your risk assessment. So you have an asset, but it's in, let's use Long Island or another Long Island, Cat Island, Eleuthera, right? You have these assets dispersed throughout the island, but how fast can it get there? So that's your risk assessment. In the meantime, travel time from, you know, we talked about response time and how long it's going to get from the fire station to my house, which is in the south, mm-hmm. right? And the station is in the north, right? So now in the meantime, I now need to find something to mitigate that. Mm-hmm. And here comes the mouse.
Yes.
So if I was the fire services chief, I would ensure that I present to the public and also in conjunction with the Ministry of Works, in conjunction with our Disaster Risk Management Agency. Hey, what are some of the tiers? When I make that call, 919, which is down.
It's down.
There's another story, right? See how many different things are out mm-hmm. there that are out of my control as a business owner. But if I have the mouse, if I have the grenade, if I have these other things in place, in between that call and the time they get there, mm-hmm. I've already done some things, you know, and that's what preventative measures wants to highlight and to make you aware of. Hey, you can't just sit and wait. You're going to have to live in that house. It's your business.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait and put that responsibility totally on government. I think it's not, mind you, government has a role to play. They have a responsibility, but they cannot be given that full responsibility if you have some things that you can do.
There's a concern about high-rise buildings.
Correct.
Right? And how government responds to it. And I want to get some idea from your specialty. How can owners of high-rise buildings, businesses would have more than one story, right? How can they respond to the first initial response to firefighting?
For preventative measures, our view is that any emergency response, whether it's fire, whether it's, you know, it's a barricaded person, whether it's a hazmat, whether it's air system circulation issues, right? It is how are you, if that facility, if that high rise has poor basic day-to-day maintenance procedures, if they're keeping trash piled up, if they're storing combustibles or chemicals in the air handling area of your AC system, right? Those are already poor things that you're doing.
Trash piled up by the fire doors.
Exactly, or the fire door barricaded. You know, you lock it because you don't want anybody to sneak in, but you forget to open it during operating hours. So these are the kind of things that we would identify, because how are you running your business on a daily operation, so that if there's an emergency, if you're always operating in an emergency over the small things, imagine when something big happens. So mm-hmm. we try to identify those things and help you walk your way through a process that will reduce the impact of that event and hopefully allow you to recover in a reasonable time. So that's what we would be doing, going to those high-rise buildings and saying, hey, how many tenants do you have in that building? You know, how many of them are able-bodied or disabled? Do you have facilities to take that person who uses the elevator, who has a wheelchair, but they're on the fourth floor? Mm-hmm. So in an emergency situation, you can't use the elevator. How are you going to get that person who uses a wheelchair or that pregnant lady or that older person down that stairwell during an emergency? So that here comes the drill. So now we're just talking about it. We practice those procedures to ensure that we can recover and resume business in a reasonable time.
I was going to say, you forget to bring the wheelchair down, too. With the person in the wheelchair, because once they get down, they're going to need the wheelchair.
Right. So you're assessing all of those different things that are going to impact the business so you can carry on the business.
I wanted to talk about resource lists for Family Island constituencies and things, but before we get there, high rise, right? In terms of, from the fire brigade's perspective, not things they could control, but things they could lobby for, right? Are there structural sort of or policy shifts that can improve the environment for fire safety? For instance, if you got, I think high rise is three or more stories, right? But if you have a high rise building, do you have to have a water catchment system on the roof that's accessible, right, for fire resources?
Right, and that's why I said, as we talk about fire, everybody's hopping on the fire services, right? But there are things that also, as it pertains to the building code, mm-hmm. that require you to do certain things.
Like driveways,
exactly. And those are part of your building code, they are part of your occupancy. So mm-hmm. fire safety, and that's why I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, getting fire trucks is the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. What are we doing in advance to ensure that that fire that there are hydrants and they're working when the fire is going to be near the sea? Mm-hmm. It's going to be someplace where you don't have access to running a hose to the ocean and pumping water. But now when you go to that fire hydrant, it's not fully functioning at all, because you haven't been regularly testing them.
And now that you've created dual carriageways, right, do you have fire hydrants on both sides of the dual carriageways? Have you improved your public infrastructure?
And Aaron, you hit the nail on the head. It's not just buying the trucks. If you're just telling me you're going to be buying trucks, then you're missing the boat. Because it has the infrastructure. Go back to building code. How regularly are we ensuring that buildings have the safety mechanisms in place? Can you? I had a client. I won't call their name, obviously, right? Because I still have to miss a client, right? Mm. But the emergency exit door hadn't been opened in almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. So guess what? It couldn't open.
The jam stuck.
Mm-hmm. It just seized shut. So you had to get, obviously, somebody, a contractor, to come in. And by the time they got it open, they needed a new door. And they were amazed. I said, but this is the point. You have the tools, you have the mechanisms, you have the process, but you're not testing, you're not drilling these processes. This is why, again, what we're doing, what we're providing as a group, we're providing strategy to reduce the risk. But in reality, with Mr. Paul's group, there's also things that you can't control. So what can you do in the meantime? Mm-hmm. Like I said, you get a fire truck, you put it in Long Island, but it's in the north. Mm-hmm. Or it has a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Or it has no water. Mm-hmm. Here is a mouse. Here is a grenade. that you have in your home, life expectancy under the
5 years.
So
five years.
Say, imagine now at the constituency level on a family island, that shifting the culture, the residents are now willing to say, hey, I'm putting my resources on the list. So the constituency office has a list. Listen, we got 7 mouse in the constituency. We have 45 blankets, 7 large, 35 medium, so that in case, right, if you're on Eleuthera, the fire truck is on the other side of the bridge get closed down.
Exactly.
And so the fire brigade can now, when you call, they could say, listen, I know Ms. Johnson next door to you have 2 blankets. Tell Ms. Johnson, the fire chief, say, give you the blankets. We will reimburse her for the blankets.
So, Mr. Paul, have anyone reached out to you as yet? This is being political now, in terms of the family island, in terms of servicing and having these equipment that you do service, right?
Yes.
Available. I know we have the disaster management is all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have these things.
I have had the chamber on few reached out to me as relates to getting a few of the items for vehicle fires and homes, etc. But the response has been, I would say, lacking.
I don't think we know. Because now that I know that these things I should have, mm-hmm. I'm kind of saying, man, how do I get it?
And like we didn't think about it, right? I always complain about taxation for taxation's sake as opposed to taxation as a part of a regularization program, right? Every short-term rental property should have at least one immediate firefighting tool available to it. Say why? Well, tourism say this thing dead important. So we need to be able to ensure that we can reduce the risk of losing these assets, right?
Correct.
But that's it right there.
That's it. And
then these properties are often not occupied.
Exactly.
And so the residents near them are at risk. If I know that if we push this door down, or if I know that I have the tools because the person who operates it isn't here and they left them with me, I know if something goes down.
Correct. But also as it relates to Airbnbs.
Yeah.
See, you having a lot of persons advertise on Airbnbs that they have fire extinguishers, but that doesn't mean that they're servicing these fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is equip persons with solutions that could last 5 years. And so it's even in reference to, it's mandatory or based on regulations to service your fire extinguishers maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But how is that being enforced? You see? So that's, when you look at that aspect, then you look at how impractical that regulation might be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Without the enforcement.
Exactly.
Here's a question. With all of the tools that you have, firefighting tools, what's most appropriate for an office space where there are both computers and paper?
Considering our equipment doesn't leave a residue, and it also, it's actually designed for Class A, B, C, as well as K fires. So that would be the first solution that I would use.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would use ELSA as well.
Okay.
You want something that you could pull out that's mobile, that's easy to operate, et cetera, that you could just throw over a fire, et cetera.
I think people underestimate the extent to which printers just combust. Like I've seen examples of printers just catching on fire, right? Something as simple as that. It happens a lot, but we rarely think about it.
But another thing is, what persons are failing to realize that the market is evolving. And because the market is evolving, so should fire safety. For example, in the past, 10 years, we have now an overconsumption of cellular phones. And persons leave these phones charging on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a lithium-ion battery fire that causes a Class A, B, C fire. And if you were to go in that room to try to out that fire with a fire extinguisher, then you cause bodily harm to yourself by inhaling that lithium from the fire.
So your company not selling fireproof phone charging case I could attach to my wall away from my bed, eh?
No. You'll be searching.
Okay, good stuff. Because in terms of culture,
yes.
You hit the nail on the head how we use our phones. We don't think about it, and we're creating the biggest fire risk just with this little device.
And this is why we have to appreciate that there's a cultural shift. How we did things 30, 40 years ago in the Bahamas, how we manage risk has to change. Mm-hmm. We boast about millions of tourists coming in. That's a good thing, but it's also a risk. Because now you have reputational risk if something goes wrong. We boast about development and all of these things. We boast about, you know, modernization. But with that comes a responsibility to ensure that you have things to address that are new to us. You know, I heard someone said we have no high rises. I said, are you serious? I said, have you never seen the towers that are now inundating the Cable Beach Strip, these high-rise apartment buildings? I'm not even talking about an Atlantis or Bahama. I'm just talking about the mere fact that you have these high-rise complexes. I said, and in the Bahamas, consider the schools. I mean, consider that a lot of the high schools and primary schools now are multi-level. So what are we doing to manage these different risks and the impacts that events could occur that at these locations?
Preventative Managers is a risk management company.
Correct.
Why did you decide to partner with Mr. Paul's company? Like, how did it mesh together?
Because with risk, there are risks you could control, and there's some risks that you can't control. You have to be real. And if you're presenting a comprehensive picture, yes, Preventative Measures is intended to prevent the event, but we are also realistic that, hey, things, what they say, what is it, Murphy's Law? What could go wrong will go wrong. Mm-hmm. So the best intentions will nevertheless result in situations that you can't control. So in partnering with Mr. Paul's program, it fits right into our whole concept, because we are giving you readiness solutions, meaning you are going to be trained, you're going to look at your risk assessment, but you're also getting response solutions. So Mr. Paul's entity, Mr. Paul's group, has those response solutions that have, you know, and I'm saying this because we, like I said earlier, when we look at the performance in the last 6 months, and we look at the fact that resource availability has been questionable, you cannot sit as a business and as a homeowner, unfortunately, and it's a reality check, and people may not, you cannot sit as a homeowner, as a business owner, and say, I'm going to call 919, and then there's some issues with that. You have invested in your business. You have invested in your home. What are you going to do when those situations fall short? And this is not knocking any entity, any government. This isn't political. This is reality. I live in the Bahamas. All of us live in the Bahamas. We see it. There's some challenges. So I can't sit back and just complain and say, oh, they ain't doing. Oh, they ain't performing. No, what am I doing to protect my investment?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking strategies for schools that are windowless, right? Like schools are the windowless. Businesses where the windows don't open. They don't build them like the House of Assembly anymore, where you could just open the window and throw the mace out. Some buildings, just you can't open the window. And when we get back from the break, maybe some strategies for those spaces. Like, what are the best tools to use in that type of...
A quick break right now. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We have in studio Mr. Gamal Nuri and Mr. Donovan Paul, and they're talking about strategies regarding fire. Their business about security and prevention and loss and risk management, and they're here basically informing us, educating us about alternatives on what we should be doing in the Bahamas, particularly regarding these increase in fires. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back.
Tried our President Butter? Ooh la la. Indulge a little with President, because now more than ever, we need to savor the taste, textures, and feelings to truly enjoy the little things that mean the most. President Butter, something to savor.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply, starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a rule. Felt, £15.16.50, £30.19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and Certain Teed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. All sizes, treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. Before I start, I'd like to wish happy birthday to Miss Royanne Ford from her husband, her children, Sean Jr., Seth, and Savannah. Also, I want to say that Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, and Curacao, and Aruba on a Royal Caribbean Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part, no visa is required. That's right, no visa are required for this trip. You just have four ways to enter and four ways to win, right? It's a fill out the form in Nassau Guardian. Also listen to Star 106.5, the Nassau Guardian, the Nassau Radio, Guardian Radio. Why say Nassau Guardian? It's Guardian Radio 96.9. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram or make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing is on July 4th, 2025. So pack up your bags, get ready to soak up the sun and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones, that's four of you, sailing on the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime, brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. And of course, certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities are not included. Before we schools and also talking about schools with it's like air conditioned and have no wind, at least only windows. There's no open windows,
yeah,
right?
The windowless schools.
Yes. Correct. And we wanted to know what type of recommendations do you have for places like that would have everything sealed, right? Especially places, schools that has that home economic room. Right. Sometimes they have that one door entryway. Right. What type of procedures do you go into schools and give recommendations and do risk analysis? Hey, I see you have a home ec room, but there's some risk here. And let me give some mitigating solutions on what to do. Even government businesses and business in general. But we're talking about schools right now. Like, yeah. What do you do?
We offer fixed fire blankets that actually go directly on the wall. And persons could simply pull it off the wall and use to put out fires as relates to you're looking at the home ec rooms and the chemistry labs, etc. But at the same time, we also offer for those rooms that don't have windows, because it doesn't have a window and it's confined, we recommend the fire grenades for those type of solutions.
The video that we saw last year that looked like school staff were putting out a fire in a classroom. It looked like maybe a home ec room, but a different sort of classroom.
Yes.
You're saying that the grenade may have been the best option for that. Because if people are darting in, the fire jump up, they're darting out. We're not taking that risk. We start by throwing the grenade in.
Exactly. And in that video in particular is actually on the website in reference to, because we have it timeline and stamped. Every fire that happens in the Bahamas and also when it comes to, like I mentioned, the global records in reference to electric vehicles and scooters and all of those issues.
Solutions for boaters. But, oh, sorry, go on.
My only comment would be certainly for us, when we come in and we look at buildings that have limited ventilation or are closed in, we would recommend, and again, it goes back to how you're running your business on a daily. Are you ensuring that there's regular ventilation of your air system, of your air handlers? Because again, you know, you have a closed area, and it isn't just a fire that you have to be concerned about. It's just the air system contamination that it'll impact operations. It is, you know, all of these different things that will impact operations outside of just a fire. So for us, a closed up facility would be the question of how you ensuring that ventilation systems stay properly properly maintained. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, we had that with a hotel in Family Island recently, with the guests died from carbon monoxide.
Correct.
And we couldn't explain how the guests died. Yeah. And I'm glad to see that at least there's a business that brings that up.
Yeah, okay. The focus on solutions. We have a plethora of boaters, local, non-local, commercial, fishermen, pleasure crews, charters. The risk of fire on the boat and tools specific for boats, or are these tools for terrestrial use also the same tools we're going to use on the marine in a marine environment?
It's the same tools. In fact, on our website, we have an engine, an outboard marine, and we have the mouse fire suppression. It's so small it actually mounts on top of that outboard
marine. What do you mean small?
It's small. It's basically the size of a pen. Yeah. And so it can actually go inside of that.
The casing for the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Lightweight?
It's extremely lightweight. Yeah. And so it makes it... I have it under in the hood of my kitchen hood. Mm-hmm. I have it there. I've had persons use it on antique cars under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, inside electrical panels, IT racks in particular. When you're dealing with fire suppression in an IT rack, the issue is... it takes a while for it to rise. So what we actually do is a tail-level fire suppression solution so that we can actually catch it before it
destroys
rises.
And exactly. Destroys the whole tier. And exactly. A tier rack is like the stack of, maybe sometimes it's just panels and boards and cables.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I want you to describe how the bomb thing works with that.
Yes.
You say it's small, right?
Yes.
And you could put it and mount it in these very hoods. How does it explode?
It has a ribbon in it, and when that ribbon gets at 170 degrees Celsius, it actually disperses potassium that's a radical that actually puts out the fire. So we actually have a visual tutorial of a local scientist reviewing that technology, and what we tend to do is incorporate as much as the Bahamas in reference to reviews and getting insight of how best to utilize it and when it's best suited.
So I don't have to police it itself. It does it, the policing itself.
It does itself.
It'll signal when it needs to start.
Exactly.
We've been plagued with wildfires recently. Tools for firefighters in wildfires, right? So when you said blanket, the next thing I was going to ask, when I asked if you could wrap, a wife, not mine, that's James, in a blanket, the idea that a firefighter in the midst of a fire is now encircled by fire. Do you have that blanket that they lay on? We see in the movies, they cover themselves, they lay on the ground, and the fire passes over them?
On our website, we actually, that was last week, one of our partners that we demonstrated was designed, they actually have a solution directly for wildfires.
Okay.
And so it's a telescopic pole that goes up 30 feet and it used to put out fires at long range. And so this is that type of solution is what we are recommending for wildfires pre and post, because wildfires are necessary, but you want to be able to control them as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we recommend for wildfires, etc. And if you want to get that extended range, because it actually, because it goes up 30 feet, up to, I think, 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So That's a solution we recommend.
I just want to make a point here. In either yesterday's paper or on Friday, the chamber president, the Abaco chamber president, is put out a call for donations to support the firefighting teams, the volunteer firefighting teams. You all go call this place. Say the name of the company again, just so they'll know who to call.
Lifeline IT Group of Companies.
Yeah, y'all call this way and see what tools they have available that you may be able to donate to the Abaco Chamber and the Abaco Volunteer Firefighting Team, because they're going through it right now.
I like that. Mm. I wonder if Long Island has a fire truck. No, I know the answer to that. Don't.
No, you don't know Long Island. Any truck in Long Island is a fire truck, because Long Island people don't play.
So the question is, which other islands have fire trucks?
Arkansas have a fire truck.
No. What about Exuma?
No, Exuma might have one.
Maybe.
The airport. The airport definitely has
But one. Exuma, not the airport. That's a different entity.
I don't know.
And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, what is the condition that you're operating in, and what type of resources and tools can you purchase
in the meantime,
because you're going to have challenges. We're going to call this one, or it's this one's fault.
They didn't
do what they were supposed to. What are you doing? What are you doing to ensure that you can survive the incident?
It made me think of Bimini just now, right? Bimini went through a devastating fire a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? And then everybody said, there ain't no fire truck on Bimini. And then they had to remind people, they ain't got no fire truck roads on Bimini. Mm-hmm. The way that the homes and the communities are constructed, they exclude your traditional fire truck.
And this is the culture and the cultural shift that we talked about earlier. What's good for New Providence, what's available in New Providence, in Grand Bahama, is not going to be the same conditions in a family island. And so you have to manage those risks differently. And this is what seems so, you know, when I hear we're going to buy fire trucks, I'm like, really? That's it? What are you going to do?
So this is where at this point in the show where I want everyone give out their numbers and contacts so people can get in contact with you. Go ahead.
Okay, so preventative measures, I'll do two things, right? You can reach preventative measures at 357-9949. We also have, on May 20th, we'll be having an emergency response management training, which is a 3-hour training that helps businesses, in particular, specifically for businesses, to upgrade and improve upon their fire readiness and emergency readiness programs. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. You could visit our website at maussafetybahamas.com, or you could call us at 1-677-MAUS, which is 6287.
Look how we radio show. Tex, you didn't mention the new LNG pipeline that I believe is planned to wind through residential communities in the journey from Clifton. And we need to talk about another cultural shift, preparing people to prevent risk themselves. Most businesses only have one door to get in and one get out. And like your guest said, emergency doors that haven't been opened for years since the building was built. Many of them have two doors. They just don't let the customer know. Right, and there are no signs that say fire exit this way. Last text, this government, everything burning down, billions being spent on traveling parties and stupid nonsense, and using the police. Okay, text, I understand.
Yes.
You hot, I hot, but it raining, so we good.
Everybody cool down. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Mr. Paul. Thank you very much, Mr. Nuri. Aaron Green, thank you as usual. We will see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. NASA.